It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important story.
Out here in Colorado, we had a sex education bill that was passed. It was signed by the governor and put into law. I just can't believe what is happening to public education.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
We are now using policy that if you don't affirm something, that they use policy then to take away your businesses.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
Kids are just being bombarded with darkness.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
You know, we need to get back to letting our kids be kids.
Uh-oh, guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo!
Woo-hoo! Indeed, it is hump day, and welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com, and sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com as well. This weekend, I'm going to be getting caught up on those emails, producer Steve, and I'm not going to let it burden me. I've had all this guilt, but yet I'm going to get up, caught up on those.
Who says guilt can't be constructive? But
there you go.
Go ahead and introduce Brad before I mention his name.
Okay. Well, I do. That voice that you just heard was producer Steve. Thank you to this team I get to work with. That is producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, and Charlie, all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. In studio with me is Brad Beck. You know him. He is an author. He's a speaker. He is a co-founder of Liberty Toastmasters. He is a patriot. He loves liberty. He loves our country. It's great to have you here.
Well, I'm an artist, or actually an author in work. You know, I'm trying to get there, but I appreciate the accolades, and it's always great to see you, Kim, be in the studio with you.
Well, this piece that you've written that we will be rolling out in the newsletter this weekend, Comply, I Don't Think So.
Yeah.
I can tell there's a lot of heart in this particular op-ed. And we're not constricted by words like papers, because there's a lot of information that you have here.
Well, I'm looking at things from a perspective that today, you know, we've been told that you have to think a certain way and act a certain way, and social media is shaming certain people because of the way they think, and I think there's a different way that you can look at things.
You think?
Yeah, I do think.
Producer Steve, what is it that you wanted to say?
Well, I just noticed as the intro is rolling, Brad and I are sitting here so dignified, and then you're the one yelling woohoo and all that kind of stuff. Like, wow.
Well, you call it hump day. I call it humor day. Why is that? I always look for the funny.
Okay.
I think if you look for humor, it's always good, and there's always funny things happening in life. And if you just put your observation antenna up, life is funny. There are certain things happening now that you can just make all kinds of humor about,
well,
as bad as it gets.
You're in the right place.
I was actually reading something on stress yesterday, and one of the things they said was a good laugh can actually relieve a whole bunch of stress. And so looking for the humor in the day, I think, is a really important thing.
Especially when you put two different color socks on in the morning.
Did you do that?
I did, and almost walked out of the house.
I actually knew a person that had a favorite style of shoe. And actually, you know what happened is she showed up at church not only with a different colors of shoes, different styles of shoes. That's a problem when that happens. That happens probably to Steve all the time, though.
Well, I was just thinking, a former coworker from another life, you know, did that. And, you know, he blamed it on the fact that he got dressed in the dark. And when you think about it, you know, even though it's a shoe from two different pairs, it feels
Feel differently.
Well, I guess it felt right, but when he showed up that day, he got, oh my gosh.
Talk about a little humor on that, for sure. I'm going to check. Okay, I have on two matching shoes, so that's a good thing. And be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. The podcast and the shows are there. We have been under construction. And when you're under construction, when you're improving something, the under construction component can be a little tricky. So thank you for your patience, but it is coming out on the other side really, really great, Brad.
Awesome. Look forward to it.
And sign up for our weekly newsletter. That way you'll get first look at Brad Beck's op-ed this week, as well as our our upcoming guests. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to each and every one of you who are contributing to keep our independent freedom of speech voice on the air. Greatly appreciate it. This week, Steve, I tell you, these interviews are taking my breath away. what we're doing with these Vietnam veterans. It's our Echoes. The book that we're basing this on is Echoes of Our War, Vietnam Veterans Reflect 50 Years Later. I would so recommend that people get this book, put it in their library. I think every high school kid, every college student, every person should read this. This is 10 different Vietnam veterans. You're partway through the book, correct, Steve?
Yes, I'm. There's 10 contributors. I'm in the first one of those 10. But I think I mentioned to you yesterday, with all the forewords and all the other acknowledgments that happen when somebody puts out a book like this, there is a theme. And I've heard it, well, read it now from three different people. And the fact is, these guys, they didn't have to be there very long before they realized the way they were fighting, they were not fighting to win. And that's mind-numbing to me.
I tell you what, to put our young men and women in harm's way, not to win, there is something really wrong about that, Brad.
Yeah, it was interesting. I was speaking at an event a week and a half ago, and a gentleman came up to me afterwards, about 250 people in the audience, and it was great to see faces. There's no mask. Uh-huh. And he had his hand extended and shook my hand, and he had his jacket on with all the patches and a hat that he served in Vietnam. And I shook his hand. I said, thank you for your service. And he just looked at me and said, thank you for acknowledging it. Mm-hmm. And there was just a moment there, but boy, it was powerful. And he was a sniper. Mm-hmm. And he said, I appreciate the fact that you just acknowledged me.
It's taken so long. And I had said thank you for my freedom to one of the veterans. And he said, thank you for your service, I said. And he said, thank you. Say thank you for my freedom. And I really thank each and every one of our military and our veterans who have been willing to put it all on the line for us to have liberty. That's why you and I engage in this battle of ideas, because ideas are so important, Brad.
Yeah, they are. And, you know, my dad served in the Korean conflict, and that was never recognized as a real war. It was a UN action. And those folks that came back, even though my father didn't fight in theater, my uncle did. And they didn't talk about it. They still didn't talk about it. And it's amazing, because that was a conflict similar to Vietnam that started as a political action and then grew into what it became. And it's unfortunate, because if you're going to go to war, you go to war, you destroy everything, you win, and then you come home. Mm-hmm. And that's as it should be.
Yes, and to stand against this tyranny and evil out there. Speaking of Korea, it's called the Forgotten War. And I have had the honor to interview a few Korean War veterans. I find it very difficult to get them to talk. And for many of you, the Chosin Reservoir was a very difficult battle. And if you know of any Korean veterans that I could interview, I'd really like to do that, because it's called the Forgotten War. Brad, that's one of the reasons we do this show, is to understand our history, to archive these stories. Each story is individual. Two guys could be right next to each other in a foxhole, and their stories are completely different.
Yeah.
And that's why it's so important. So this week, we are talking with John Decker and Denny Sedlak and Paula Sarles, who Paula is a Vietnam-era Marine veteran. She is working diligently to raise money for the Marine Memorial out here in Golden to remodel that. And just a note to all of you, I actually purchased a brick. They're selling bricks. To honor, and my father was in the Air Force, but there is a walk of service, then the other walks will be of Marines, but to honor his service. And that is a great Father's Day gift if your loved one served. And the bricks, there's one at $125. I can't remember the other price. But you wonder what to get your dad for Father's Day. This is a great thing, Brad.
That is. I'll have to look into it. You know, if you go back to the memorial in Washington, D.C., that to me is the most powerful, besides the Vietnam Wall, but the Korean monument with those soldiers standing there with those blank stares in their eye. It's powerful.
I know. It is powerful. Yeah, I just got chills on that. So our show is 3 o'clock this Sunday on KLZ 560 AM and KLZ 100.7 FM. These shows are brought to you by I Get to Work with some really great partners. And Castlegate Knife and Tool, located in Sedalia, Colorado, have knives from the best blade makers from throughout the world. Hal Van Herke, the owner, is going to be our guest on Friday, and he has a real understanding and appreciation for small business. But be sure and check out castlegate.com for their complete selection. I'd recommend, as the weather's getting nicer, take a Saturday and go down and check it out. But that's castlegate.com, castlegate.com. And big show planned for you in the third and fourth segment. This comply, I don't think so. Your op-ed, we're going to talk a little bit about that, Brad, because I think that's really important. We've got a late-breaking guest in the second segment, Mandy Ganasekara, I believe it is. She's the former chief of staff at the EPA and founder of Energy 45, and she wants to talk about the Green New Deal. And again, that's very late-breaking, but I thought it would be great to have her on. We look at these issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it, Brad. And it's never compassionate to take other people's rights, their property, their freedom, or their livelihood via force, whether with a weapon, policy, unpredictable, and excessive taxation or fear.
Yeah, I agree. And when I look at things also between the freedom versus force, but also the virtue versus the vengeance. And I think, you know, if you have to have a person of character to really look at things from a perspective of, is it principled? And a lot of these actions that are going on by bureaucrats and interested parties are not done from a character perspective. They're done from a power perspective. And I think we have to be aware of it. And then, okay, what are you going to do? How are you going to react? What's the solution to it?
Oh, that is fascinating. I haven't heard that. Virtue versus vengeance. Okay, let's, I have been very intrigued by our author of the Inspiration Wisdom of the Day. He continues to pop up here, Robert Anson Heinlein, and he was an American science fiction author, an aeronautical engineer, and a naval officer. He was sometimes called the Dean of Science Fiction Writers. He was among the first to emphasize scientific accuracy in his fiction and was thus a pioneer in the subgenre of hard science fiction. He was born in 1907 and died in 1988. And as I've been looking at his quotes, fascinating guy. I'd never really heard of him, but have you?
No, I have not. I'll have to look him up. I'm always interested in new people.
Okay, this is what he said. Patriotism is not my country right or wrong. Patriotism means loving the ideals for which America stands and having the courage to speak up when these ideals are distorted for personal or political gain. The American government was instituted to be the servant of the people, not our master.
Yeah, that's brilliant.
And I actually was looking for quotes that would work into your op-ed here. So I tell you what, I do want to get to Bill of the Day, but let's talk to Mandy here in the second segment. When we get to the third segment, I think actually it's very apropos to talk about Bill of the Day with your op-ed.
Sure.
So let's go ahead and go to break. Before we do that, though, another one of my great sponsors is Hooters Restaurants. They're located five locations here in the metro area. There's Loveland and Westminster, Aurora, Lone Tree, and Colorado Springs. Today is Wednesday. It's Wings Day. So you buy 20 wings, you get 10 wings for free. That's for dine-in or to-go. And it's a great place just to meet with friends. I had a friend of a friend said that she went over with a bunch of girlfriends and actually had just a great time. And so go to my website. That is kimmunson.com. Click on my sponsor tab. You'll see all these people on there. I highly recommend each and every one of you. Click on the Hooters tab there, and you'll get all the specials. We're going to go to break. We will be right back. We have Brad back in studio, and we'll be talking with Mandy here in just a moment.
Home ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now. This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to each and every one of you who are contributing to support our independent voice out there on the airwaves. Greatly appreciated. I tell you what, we need to be engaged in this battle of ideas. And Brad Beck, co-founder of Liberty Toastmasters, author here of this op-ed, Comply, I Don't Think So. It's great to have you in studio.
Well, thanks, Kim. Good to be here. Always good to be in your presence.
Well, and right back at you. So we become really good friends through Liberty Toastmasters. And what you have done as a co-founder there and help people find their voices is just an amazing thing, Brad.
Well, thank you. And it's really everybody who comes in, the members that make the difference.
And we don't always agree on everything, but we always have great conversations. So
that's
it's
right.
Great. So, hey, I'm excited to talk with this next guest, Mandy Gunasekara. And I'm going to have to ask her if that's really how you pronounce her last name. She's a former chief of staff at the EPA and founder of Energy 45. And she's going to be talking about the Green New Deal and how it's going to harm Colorado workers. Probably not Colorado workers, probably workers across the country. But Mandy, welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, Kim. Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you. And you're a late-breaking guest. I'm so excited to have you here. I would like to make sure that we get the correct pronunciation of your name out there.
Yeah, it's Mandy Gunasekara.
Okay, I'm not going to try to say that again, okay?
It's okay. You were close. It was really good. It was good.
Okay, now you're a former chief of staff at the EPA. And tell us a little bit about Energy 45, this organization that you founded.
Yeah, certainly. So I dubbed it as a pro-Trump nonprofit. I founded it in 2019. And the premise of it really was to get the word out about the positive impacts of the president's pro-energy, pro-individual freedom policies that, you know, prior to the COVID pandemic, we were, as all Americans, reaping the benefits of increased jobs, increased wages, and increased investments in local communities in the form of tax revenues that go towards better education, better local infrastructure, and better equipped security forces. So, the whole premise was to talk about that, talk about the good news story we have on the energy side, the economic side, and how we were making significant progress on the environment side. A lot of people don't necessarily realize, but we have the cleanest air on record. We're number one in access to clean drinking water. And despite what you may hear in a lot of mediums, the doom and gloom story, we actually have a really good story to talk about, and it's something that should be celebrated.
Mandy, one of the shows that we do is health and hydrocarbons. And as we take hydrocarbons for granted because affordable, efficient, reliable, and abundant energy has really allowed everyday people to thrive and flourish. We are at the pinnacle of human flourishing right now in the United States of America. And Mandy, it is beyond me that we now have an administration that is just seems like they're hell-bent on turning that around. And when energy costs go up, the people that are hurt the most are the people at the bottom of the economic ladder who are trying to climb that ladder, Mandy.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And think about a state like Colorado that's seen significant growth related to the growth and use of hydrocarbons in a safe, efficient, and healthy manner. And now you have a president and administration officials, and then you've got members in Congress that support things like the Green New Deal, that they're trying to attack this infrastructure that we've built up that has lifted all manner of people out of poverty, and they're attacking it in a way, as you rightfully point out, is going to be most impactful to our friends and neighbors that are right below that poverty line. They're on the cusp of getting out of that. And these type of policies being perpetuated by more expensive energy, Green New Deal, the banning of certain technologies, that's just going to push them down further and not allow them the opportunity to get out of poverty and help themselves and their families have a much better life. So these policies, you know, some people may tune it out like, oh, that's just Washington, D.C., that's just politics. People need to pay attention, especially in states like Colorado, where it's not only a big part of the local economy, but you're going to see the cost of everything from gas prices to consumer goods go up, and how much you spend each month on energy. And it's those families that are right along the cusp of the poverty line. They already spend around 30% of their income on energy costs. So any incremental cost, even a couple dollars a month, will have a huge impact to what they can achieve throughout the entire year for purposes of helping advance themselves and their families. So people, they've got to pay attention because the consequences are significant, especially for the families and friends that need support the most.
Well, and Brad Beck, you've been watching this closely as well. And I think that Mandy's really nailing it.
She is. And Mandy, I appreciate what you're doing because I have been hearing a lot of news reports of prices going up. Even in my own business, prices have gone up. And there's a direct relationship to the energy sector where transportation and production costs just go up. And that is passed on to the consumer.
Yeah, it's passed on to the consumer, and it cuts into your ability as a business owner to take money that you could invest in either expanding your business, making it more efficient, hiring more people, and you're spending it on things that at the end of the day pay for Democrat-led policies that don't do much in terms of improving our environmental standing and do a lot to decreasing our economic standing. And in the broader scheme, what that ultimately does is it takes jobs that could exist in Colorado and it ships them overseas to places like China and India, places where their environmental standards aren't as robust and sincere as ours in this country. So you're taking a clean, efficient American job, shipping it overseas, where you're ultimately exacerbating environmental standards and the cleanliness of the environment across the globe.
You know, Mandy, what I've always found different between, and I want to take the narrative back, conservative has gotten a bad rap for many, many years. But conservative, in the truest sense, means conserving this idea that all men are created equal by God with these rights of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. And certainly economic well-being, political well-being, is part of that pursuit of happiness. What I found, Mandy, it sounds like you're watching Colorado a bit, is Colorado, our Rocky Mountain oil and gas producers, with hydraulic fracturing and horizontal drilling, have contributed significantly through this clean natural gas. And we have clean coal-fired plants out here that government and Xcel are working to close. And they're passing that cost on to consumers as well. But what we've seen here is big business and big government like each other. And so Xcel and the Colorado government seem to be working together to shut out the competition of fossil fuels and by public policy pushing people to electricity, electric cars, more electricity. And we are somewhat reliant on China. You just mentioned China for electricity. The batteries have rare earth minerals that are mined in third world countries. China has a big control of that. And it doesn't make sense to me. Well, I guess if you're trying to get rid of your competitors, you would use government to do that. But that doesn't make sense to me for everyday people and the people that we elect to represent us, Mandy.
That's right. And I saw that firsthand when I was at EPA, and something we worked to combat by opening up the regulatory process so that more people could actively and genuinely participate. What you saw in the previous administration and what you're likely to see in this administration is you have agreements in principle between the federal government and large corporations that have really close relationships. And the large corporations have figured out a way to perpetuate regulatory requirements that add costs that they can handle, they can absorb because of how big they are, but their mid-sized to small-sized competitors that have been cutting into their market share, they can't handle, or it's going to cause them to significantly reduce their piece of the market share. So that absolutely occurs. You have corporations working with the government to set up regulatory schemes that boost their ability to compete while putting significant, difficult competitive pressure on the small to mid-sized folks in that same industry. And so it really hampers the ability, as you rightfully point out, of our market to work, where free markets and individualism and these innovative new technologies and ideas can really come to bear. So it's, you know, it's one of these things that people may not necessarily know, but it's something that the larger corporations can, and they can absorb these costs. It's not really going to impact their bottom line, but it will do a lot in terms of putting their mid-sized and smaller guys out of business, which just limits the ability of new technologies to take off.
And it really then, the lack of competition really affects the prices for everyday hardworking people. Brad, you look like you had something you wanted to say.
Well, I'm just curious, Mandy, how the progress of nuclear under President Trump was progressing and where it is now, because to me, that's really the key to the future.
Yeah, and that's right. There is a lesser-known regulatory body called the Nuclear Regulatory Commission that operates a couple miles outside of D.C., and it's a quote-unquote independent agency, so it means that they have five different leaders, commissioners, and they essentially have to work together to make decisions, which is a little bit different than agencies like EPA. But nonetheless, in the Trump administration, we really worked to cut back some of the unnecessary requirements, because one of the biggest barriers to growth of nuclear in this country is its cost. But one of the reasons it's so expensive is because of the very complex and burdensome regulatory requirements that are laid out and overseen by the Nuclear Regulatory Commission. So in the last administration, under the leadership of President Trump, there was a very concerted and strategic effort to reduce those unnecessary requirements to boost nuclear, because the truth is, if you're looking at it either from a reliability, nuclear is always running, a cost perspective, it's always going to be the same, and from an emissions perspective, you have zero emissions, whether you're talking about traditional pollutants like particulate matter, sulfur dioxide, those sorts of things, or you're talking about greenhouse gases, it's zero across the board. And so if you care about expanding access to zero emissions type energy, then you want to boost nuclear. And so there's a lot of benefits that we worked very extensively on under the Trump administration. And what I've seen from this administration thus far is essentially a dismissal of the role of nuclear to an outright negative approach towards nuclear, as represented by some of the bills that legislators on Capitol Hill are pushing, which makes no sense, especially from the environmental perspective. If your intentions truly are to improve the environment while maintaining the robust energy resources we need to be a successful country.
Boy, Mandy, you have really nailed it. So a couple of things. I'd like you to give us the pronunciation again of your last name, and what is your website?
So Mandy Gunasekera. And my main website, I'm actually in the process of rebranding Energy 45, but a website where people can get more information about me and what I do is Section 7, the Roman numeral 7, so sectionvii.com.
Okay, that's sectionvii.com. Mandy, let's stay in touch. Great information. Appreciate it.
Yeah, great talking to y'all, and thanks for having me on this morning.
You bet. And let's jump over here with Senior Vice President at Presidential Wealth Management, Jason McBride. I bet you learned something in that last conversation.
That was very in-depth information. Hopefully I'll retain a little bit of it, but Kim, we all know that energy is very important, and that energy independence, I think, is one of the most important things that this country can strive for. And I think Trump did a great job of it, and I don't want to go backwards. I can see the difference already in the prices at the pump mm-hmm. over the last few months. And that is, as you say, that is hitting everybody in their pockets, and especially, lower-income people get affected the most by higher gas prices.
They do, and they want to be able to have the freedom of mobility, and the more mobile they are, the more different job choices they have, and so we are really seeing that. I think everyday people are noticing this, and energy prices are up at the pump anywhere from 30% to 40%. Jason McBride, something that you are doing right now, which I think makes a lot of sense, is these annuity kind of reviews. And that seems to make a lot of sense, as some people may have kind of tucked them away in a drawer. And it's important that people understand the complete scope of their investments.
Well, I think it is, Kim. You're right. I find folks will invest in an annuity and, you know, a few years later have forgotten kind of how the features work. You know, what are all the little buttons and levers on the product that they own? And sometimes they get frustrated and discouraged and, you know, they'll end up getting rid of something right when it might have been something that would be very, very helpful to them. So I have been told I'm very good at explaining how these things work. I don't want to brag, but I think I am pretty good at explaining how they work. So I'm inviting folks that maybe have an annuity, have forgotten or don't understand what exactly they have, to come in. Just bring your latest statement with you, and we'll call the annuity company if we have to. But Kim, I'll help them go through the numbers, what they're seeing on the statement, how the income works, what happens if you pass away. I mean, pretty much all of the pertinent details of your contract, so you'll at least know what you have and you can make a good, informed decision. A lot of times people will walk out of the office knowing exactly what it is they own for the first time, and most of the time I find, Kim, they're pretty happy once they figure out exactly what the features are and the numbers are. Some of these things actually are pretty good.
Well, knowledge is power, Jason McBride, and I know you can help people get to know a little bit more about their annuities. How can people reach you?
Yep, Kim, again, no obligation, and I promise no high pressure or anything like that. This will just be...
No door locking or anything, right?
That's right. give us a call, 303-694-1600, 303-694-1600, and I look forward to seeing you.
Sounds great. Jason, we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Have a great one, Kim.
And I can't wait to get back from break to talk to Brad Beck about Comply, I Don't Think So, his latest op-ed. Stay tuned.
Controlling your own destiny. There are a lot of unknowns on the horizon with the new administration. Predovich & Company is here to help. Trusted professionals for all your bookkeeping, tax planning, and accounting needs. Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich & Company. They've been helping her for years. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company works with clients from anywhere in the United States. Give them a call at 303-791-3000 to put Predovich & Company to work for you. Call 303-791-3000 today.
Would you have ever dreamed that freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion would be under assault and attack in America? Unbelievably, it is happening right before our eyes. That is why it is important to keep free-thinking, independent voices on the airwaves, the internet, and social media. Kim Munson is one of those important voices. Help her keep independence alive. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute to join Kim in the battle of ideas raging in America today. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Our bill of the day is, I think, related to Brad's op-ed here as well. It's Senate Bill 21-243. It's the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment Appropriation Public Health Infrastructure. First of all, that's the new hot word, infrastructure, Brad.
Everything's infrastructure.
Yeah, that big bill that they're going to try to get through in Congress. Nancy Pelosi's now, it's all this kind of spending on all kinds of things. She's calling it human infrastructure.
Yeah, the terminology keeps changing. The goalpost keeps moving. And I find these coming so fast and furious, the average person has no clue of what's going on.
I know.
And they need this type of information that you provide and others to understand where their money's going.
Yeah.
This is all taxpayer money.
Well, what we've seen, I think, is really the weaponization of these local health departments against businesses. I mean, when we saw what happened this last year with health departments, unelected bureaucrats coming in and threatening to shut down businesses, they can't do that without money.
Yeah, and they need the authority behind it.
Yeah. So you give them authority and give them some money, and we're off to the races. Thank you, Steve. And the primary sponsors, Senator Marino and Representative McCluskey, are Democrats. And what this does is, for the next 3 years, the bill requires the General Assembly to appropriate a little over $21 million to the Department of Public Health and Environment as follows: $10 million for distributions to local public health agencies, and $11 million for disease control and public health response. Now, per former Senator Kevin Lundberg, he says, appropriate $21 million for 3 years for public health? What? The current General Assembly is telling the next General Assembly what they will be spending? Probably unconstitutional, but they will pass it anyway. And I thought we were just doing 2 weeks to flatten the curve about a year ago. Why are we going to need $21 million for this, Brad?
That's a good question. And I would ask all our representatives the same thing, because I don't think they know. I think there is so many things happening that our elected representatives are abdicating to third parties, and the health department is one of them. I think it needs to be debated by local authorities and let the public have their say on it as well. I live in Erie, and Erie is half in Weld County and half in Boulder. Guess which side has more dominance?
Can you see it?
Yeah.
Can you really? You probably really can see it.
From my backyard,
you?
I can see freedom from my house, as I always say.
But can you see the difference in public policy?
All the time. And when Weld County says that they are going to leave it up to the individual to make a choice, as opposed to Boulder County, which mandates your behavior, it's right down county line. And I think that people need to see that.
Well, and I'm trying to look this up because I'm like, how on earth did these public health departments get all of this power? And I think I'm looking it up now as we speak. I think it's called Article 25. And it's been over a progression. As you mentioned, elected representatives have abdicated the decision making, and they do that so they don't have to be accountable to the people, so that they can get reelected. And it's on both sides of the aisle. And last time I checked it, so I'm like, how did these health departments get all this power? This piece of legislation now was over 1,000 pages long.
Yeah.
I mean,
and when you get something that long, you know, lawyers involved. And when we need lawyers, we need lawyers. But, you know, sometimes they come up with things, and it's like pretzel logic, that old Steely Dan song. And it turns and it twists, and the average individual doesn't get it. So they walk away from it. It's too confusing. And these bureaucracies just build and build and build, and they're not going away. And we have several friends who have restaurant establishments. And by them just being open and not following mandates by parties that don't even understand one end of the city to the other or their jurisdiction, and then they make mandates for everybody, I think there's a problem there. And I think citizens have to, you know, we listen to our officials, but there comes a certain point where it says, okay, 2 weeks to flatten the curve, wear a mask, don't wear a mask. At a certain point, you just say, hey, I'm going to live my life and flourish. And if somebody else doesn't want to go outside, don't go outside. If somebody else wants to get a vaccine shot, go ahead, get a shot.
Right.
I have no problem with that.
Right.
But please, please, please don't tell me how to live my life if I'm not going to hurt somebody intentionally. And that's where the rub comes in with a lot of these people who are putting banners on their Facebook page. You know, I got mine, or they're showing you their vaccine card. And it's a way of saying, okay, I've got mine, now you got to do yours for me. Well, since when do I have to live for somebody else?
Well, and on that, okay, a couple of things. It's not Article 25, it's Title 25. Yeah. And it is the Public Health and Environment. There you go, Brad, 1,048 pages.
Wow.
Can you believe it?
I can believe it. It's the government.
There's something wrong with that. That is not what representative government is, to give an unelected bureaucracy this kind of power. And you saw that they didn't want to give it back. Patty and I have been talking a lot about narrative. And she brought it to my attention, and she's right, that we need to take back the narrative. This is not a vaccine. This is an experimental drug. It has not gone through FDA testing. It's still under emergency orders. And do you think it might change with people if they say, have you gotten your experimental drug yet? I got my experimental drug.
Right. Yeah. Well, and, you know, we're taught as kids to color in the lines. We're taught as children to share our toys. And I've always said, well, why? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I got in trouble for it. You know,
yeah,
go,
of course.
Go sit in the corner.
I can see that.
I've always been a little bit contrary. And then we celebrate the artist who does things unique or different. And I'm thinking, well, there's our narrative. We're doing something that's unique and different, and we're not going along to get along because somebody says, hey, you need to do this for me, or you need to do this for the community. And I'm thinking, well, again, why?
Mm-hmm.
If somebody is fearful of catching a virus that is out there that's serious.
It is.
And we know people that have had it, and I know people have died. And yet I know people that have died from cancer and heart disease and every other thing. And so I feel bad for them, too. But I'm not going to change my lifestyle simply because somebody else had something that may be hereditary. It may be communicable. But I'm going to be careful. I'm going to be mindful. But I'm not going to do something to hurt somebody. And so if somebody doesn't have the ability to fight off a virus, stay home.
Mm-hmm.
There's a great technology to order your groceries, to get served by restaurants and these types of things. But the rest of us who want to live our lives and pursue our happiness mm-hmm. and be flourishing, why can't we do that too?
Well, and it seems like if somebody chooses to get the vaccine, then they should be fine. They
right.
shouldn't have to worry about everybody else. So, hey, let's jump over here, though. Lauren Levy, he is a mortgage specialist with Polygon Financial Group. And I'm wondering, Lauren Levy, when you were a kid, did you share your toys, and did you color inside the lines or outside the lines?
My coloring was a mess. I don't remember if I shared my toys or not.
Well, it is good to have you on the line. Quickly, what is going on with the interest rate market with all the stuff that's happening in Washington?
You know, it's been the roller coaster continues, Kim. Like right now, we're still doing refinances and purchases with rates and with a 2 in front of it.
Really?
2.875. I was able to lock someone at 2.75 yesterday. So
wow.
They spiked up to like the very low 3s and then settled back down a little bit, with the 10-year coming back down into the 1.5 range. So, opportunity is still available.
And what about the, pre-qualifying? Can you pre-qualify with the 2 in it these days?
Yeah, and you need to do that. Pre-qualifying is more important than ever. Everyone, it's all over the news how low the inventory is for new homes in the state, and it's all over the country. And if you're not pre-qualified when you're out going to look, then most sellers won't even entertain your offer. You usually have to submit a pre-qualification letter with your offer if you want to have a chance.
And what's the turnaround time on that, Lauren? If people call you, what's the turnaround time to make that happen?
Oh, it's 10 to 15 minutes to get a pre-qualification done. It's very easy. It's a credit check and then some basic information and then in a loan application, and we can handle that real quick.
Okay. How can people reach you, Lauren Levy?
The best way is just call 303-880-8881.
That's 303-880-8881. It's the spring real estate market. We'll have Karen Levine on tomorrow. But get pre-qualified, and again, give Lauren a call at 303-880-8881. And with a 2 in your mortgage rate, you can actually buy a little more house, right, Lauren?
That's right, and that's necessary right now. It really is in this market.
Okay. Lauren, thank you. You are a great partner of both the Kim Munson Show and America's Veteran Stories. We will talk to you next week.
Okay, thanks, Kim.
Okay, we're going to go to break. We'll continue this important conversation with Brad Beck, and that is, I comply? I don't think so.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
America's Veteran Stories with Kim Munson, Sunday afternoons at 3, here on KLZ 560 AM and KLZ 100.7.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to each and every one of you who are contributing and supporting what we are doing to keep an independent voice out there as we kick the ideas around in this battle of ideas, because that is what's going on in America today. My good friend Brad Beck is in studio. He is a co-founder of Liberty Toastmasters. And quickly, we loved having guests. There's two groups that meet. There's one that meets in Denver, the first and third Saturdays, and the one in Longmont, the second and fourth. And I so recommend people come and visit us, because getting your communication, your listening skills honed is really important.
It is, and everybody's got a story to tell, and I love hearing their stories. And people come for the public speaking, but they leave being better listeners, and that's what I really love about it.
Yes, and how can people get more information?
They can go to libertytoastmasters.org, and we have the club in Longmont has its meeting this weekend, okay. And it's live, okay. And come and see us, and you can go on the website, find all the information. We'd love to have you.
Okay, great. And you're not only speaking, you're also writing. You're a budding author.
Well, I'm working at it.
And you've done this op-ed that we will roll out this weekend, Comply, I Don't Think So. A lot of important information. One of the things that I'm very concerned about is these vaccine passports. We saw Jen Psaki saying, we are not going to force this. We're going to give guidelines. But then you see the guidelines, you weaponize that with $21 million here in Colorado money to public health departments, and they can take those guidelines and can start to coerce people. What's your thoughts on this whole vaccine passport thing?
Well, as I see people getting excited to get their vaccine and get back to living whatever the normal is, and I actually think it's the experimental drug.
Yeah, I was just going to,
You know, that's great. If that's what they choose to put in their body, great. I've always heard my body, my choice, mm-hmm. You know, and okay, fine. I agree with that. So why am I being really coerced now daily by PSAs, which are on, you know, radio, TV commercials, by sports and celebrities, the banner on different social media that says, I got mine, you need to get yours, we can do this together. Why? Why are they so aggressive at it?
I know.
And so I'm thinking, okay, fine, you get yours. I don't want to get mine. Mm-hmm. I want to live my life the way I want to live it. And now all of a sudden I'm starting to hear and read, and I've been collecting articles daily, 5, 6, 7 articles from different sources saying that, okay, well, you don't want to get your experimental drug, why don't we'll see you at the door and see if we'll let you come into the sporting event or mm-hmm. to the concert mm-hmm. or perhaps to the library in your local community. I mean, this is where it's going. Mm-hmm. And we need to, I think, nip this really early, because otherwise mm-hmm. I think there are going to be too many people, again, with the herd mentality mm-hmm. of saying, well, you know, mm-hmm. I've got to comply. I mean, that's what my local government or my local business or my local authority is saying to me. And fine. You want to do that? Fine. Mm-hmm. But why are you forcing me? Now, if I travel for business, I'm going to have a vaccine passport.
It's like, your papers, please?
Yeah.
I mean, where have we seen that before?
And it didn't go well for people.
It didn't go well for people. You said herd mentality, and I think we're getting to herd immunity. So I think there's a difference, right?
Well, the herd mentality is going along to getting along, and, mm-hmm. and I just have never been that way. I want to understand it. I have no problem with people being the way they are with this this experimental drug. I keep mm-hmm. saying vaccine. Yeah. But it's not a vaccine per se. And, you know, what's interesting about it is President Trump put it on a fast track. He worked to pull back regulations. It happened. He said people will be able to be accessed to this experimental drug by April of this year. That mm-hmm. was last year. All of a sudden now the current administration is taking all the accolades. Isn't that interesting?
Yes, it is extremely interesting. And so let's go back to, you said my body, my choice. And, of course, we've heard that on a whole other arena there. And it seems like the people that have been my body, my choice over there seem to be the real force people over here on this, which I find so interesting. And I guess we'll put that one over there, because I believe there's actually two bodies. And so that's a little different than my body, my choice. But here, If somebody gets an experimental drug and they feel assured that they are vaccinated against the coronavirus, the Wuhan virus, then we have to ask, why is this pressure to try to make your neighbor comply?
Right. Well, why don't we open up to all experimental drugs? You know, if they're opening up for this, why not for that experimental cancer treatment or for that experimental anything to help a young kid who has a disease and by no fault of his own has to sit there and wait for a government agency to approve it? Well, if we're doing it for one, why don't we do it for all?
I mean, and then people can make their informed decision.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so I look at this from a perspective of where's the virtue of one and not the other?
Interesting. This virtue word, this is kind of new. You and I talk a lot. You've really been thinking about this, huh?
I have, and I've been online with the Hillsdale online courses, and I just finished one on Shakespeare, and he brings it up totally. And I never read Shakespeare in elementary school or junior high or high school. And so here's this great online course on Hamlet and on The Tempest, and it's so rich. It's unbelievable. And so the idea... It's fresh on my mind. Maybe that's why it keeps coming up. But the idea of the virtues. And not enough people are taught those. Although unless you go to a classical academy, you are. And it makes you think, okay, what is virtue? And is there virtue in the government doing this by a mandate? You know, I bring these questions up simply because I don't like to be forced to do anything. I pay my taxes because there's force involved. Mm-hmm. Question comes up now, they're going to tell me I have to have this certain type of passport to live, to go to the grocery store.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes no sense at all. And it's all about power and control. It's the only thing I can think of.
Brad, I never, ever dreamed that in America, the United States of America, we would be in a situation of papers, please.
Yeah.
I just never dreamed that.
No, and so to me, this is a form of vax shaming, as I'm calling it.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, I was thinking, okay, their hashtags are, you know, big on social media. Well, I think hashtag vax shaming, because if you don't take it, everybody's going to put that scarlet letter on you. And I think, well, why?
Yeah.
Why is it so important to you to control me because I choose not to do something that you think is important? Well, if you don't want to associate with me, fine. But by the same token, don't say that I'm a certain type of person or I'm a pariah. Because I'm not going along with your experimental drug.
Mm-hmm. And let's think about it. If the government decides that it's for your health to do X to get this experimental drug, you can see this starting to play out down the road of, well, maybe, you know, I don't like to have any of those things that tell how many steps I don't like people to know much about me. In fact, I still have a paper day timer.
Do you? Well, yeah, and I do too, because it helps me think. I mean, there's been research that when you write things down, your brain works differently than typing it. And so, you know, the classical education that is out there affords young people to think differently. And the computer, the tablet, the smartphone, it's mindless.
Mm-hmm.
And Marshall McLuhan talked about this in media. You know, there's hot medias and cold medias, and film was a hot media because it's a persistence of vision. TV was a cold medium where you just sat there and it just played. Analogously to what's going on now with these experimental drugs, people are saying, yeah, let's do it.
Mm-hmm. And let's force everybody else to. That's antithetical to the American idea. Brad Beck, we've got a couple of minutes left. It always goes really quickly when you're in studio. And this Comply, I Don't Think So op-ed will be rolled out in the newsletter on Sunday, and it'll be on the website. A couple of minutes left, though. What's the final thought you'd like to leave with our listeners today?
Well, I think people have to make their own informed choices on how to live their life and how to pursue their own happiness. And one of the things that really concerns me is when you have these third parties that are unelected telling everybody what they can and cannot do or should do, and then the shaming of the community because they're thinking that you have to do it because I did it.
Mm-hmm.
And my response is, I'm going to color outside the lines.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to do that.
And that's actually, that's kind of the American spirit. And in all these different interviews I've done with veterans, is that's what they've said about the American soldier, is that they could think outside the lines in battle.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the reasons why we've been able to stand against tyranny and all this this stuff out there. So again, be sure and check that out. And it's always great to have you in studio. We'll have you in again next month, and I'll be excited to see what you're going to be thinking about then.
I'll look forward to it. Always something to talk about.
I kind of like this virtue versus vengeance. That's easy for me to say, but that's
it's right out of the Tempest. That's Mr. Shakespeare. Thank you.
Okay. And just speaking of that, my dad had a classical liberal education, has a high school degree, but he always quoted Shakespeare to me. And he got that in high school. And it used to be different back then.
Well, I was a product of the L.A. school system, so I had to be uneducated and re-educated.
There you go. So, Brad Beck, it's always great to have you in studio.
Thanks, Kim.
And our quote for today is from Robert Heinlein, and it is this. I thought you'd like this. He says, people usually believe anything that they are told early and often. And that's why we do this show, is to challenge that narrative out there, Brad.
That's awesome.
Okay, you have a great day.
You too.
Okay.
Thanks, Kim.
My friends, today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America.
Fast on a rough road, riding high through the mountains, climbing, twisting, turning further from my home. Young like a